Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication Call-In Show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Watt Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own well-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eltinge, Dr. Pat Allen's collaborator, for almost 25 years on the show with Dr. Pat, as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analysis, and transactional analyst. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teachings. Before we get started, please write down our call-in number to get Dr. Pat's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback number or have it on your phone so it does not go to spam. The WAN Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer an ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat, myself, Sue Wagner, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. And now let me turn the show over to Dr. Pat Allen and our host, Patricia Eltinge.
Hi, Pat. I'm happy to be here with you. Dr. Pat Allen is our renowned psychotherapist for the groundbreaking work that you have done in the last, God knows, 50 years. So we are keeping your legacy alive and carrying on in the best way we can. And that's why we're on LA Talk Radio with you.
Is this being recorded?
Yes, it is.
Good. Okay. My way of doing this is you call me like you just did. You do your advertising, and then I will deal with at least one question that either you create or somebody sends in. Can they send in questions or leave them?
Yes, they do. They send in questions all week, and we encourage that. And we, if they don't call in, we bring their questions to the show and go over those items.
Marvelous.
So today, we have you here to dig deep into the first element of chemistry, compatibility, and communication. And the first element of that is chemistry.
Yes, what is the body doing? Now, I will always say what the question is that I'm dealing with, because this is our first round of this type of show.
Yes.
And the first question is, why are all babies female for the first few weeks of conception? If men were so powerful, why weren't they the first ones? And I'll tell you the answer to that. Because the female of our species is basically more complicated than the male. There is a magazine called Science that has an article called Making.
Okay.
Okay, she just left the line. Apparently, we're having technical difficticies on her end. Oh, here she is again.
Yes. One more thing, Pat, Dr. Pat, before you carry on, do not touch the buttons on the device.
Oh, I don't touch. Oh, I shouldn't touch the buttons.
Don't touch the buttons from this point forward. Okay.
Okay. Then I'm going to finish what I was saying.
Right.
Why are all babies female when they're born? And I say because wherever there's a successful man, there's got to be a loving woman behind him. Mm-hmm. So for this particular question, I want you to know it's the Science Magazine of May 7th, 2021, pages 592. So I will deal with that in a minute, but I'm going to put on the second question. And the second question is, what does the title of your textbook mean, Pat, Dr. Pat? It's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe. What that means is just what I said, that
okay, let's see. Let's try and get her back again.
Okay. Well, Dr. Pat's information is science-backed. So when she talks about her science-backed information, it is that these relations...
I had to do it because it wasn't doing it on its own.
Okay, so here we go.
Okay. Well, so the point is that years and years and thousands of years ago, we humans were XXX chromosomes. And then something created, whether it was God or nature, created the Y chromosome. And that replaced one of the X's. So
okay, we are here still, but we're having some technical issues on Dr. Pat's side.
I didn't touch a thing.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Whenever the Y chromosome got into the system of sexual identification, which is approximately 2 weeks into pregnancy, what happened was, it interfered with the process of becoming a female. And that's why there's a huge battle going on.
Okay, we're going to pick up where there's a huge battle going on about this. Go ahead. There's a huge battle going on, Dr. Pat.
There's a huge battle going on in Iran where they're killing girls because this particular genetic problem, putting drapes all over them. I want you to see that we're still dealing with the issues of science behind sexuality.
Right.
You see that?
Right.
Now, so the way I operate is, I give you the background. I just gave you the science background.
Right.
And Patricia, how do you feel and what do you think about what I just said?
Well, this, when you give the science behind what you're about to teach, that gives it some gravitas. So we carry on.
Okay. So have you ever dealt with the issue of you being a male instead of a female with a man who's supposed to be a male and is a female?
Absolutely, especially in modern times. Right, Pat, Dr. Pat?
And that's why I brought up Iran.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
I want now, did I give enough data on where the resource for this information is?
Yes, and I think our people in the lay audience want to hear how this relates to what they need to know, which is how people are attracted to each other by chemistry.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm going to show you that the second question I want to give the resource on is basically oxytocin versus vasopressin. Mm-hmm. Why are some guys not able to be monogamous? Because they don't have vasopressin. Do you know that the doctors, pediatricians, are starting to take examples of blood in babies? They have to do it by 3 years old or it's closed down. That if a little baby boy...
Okay, she'll be right back again. That's technical difficulties again. But we're talking about the impact of vasopressin on the human body and the male of the species. Go ahead.
If the little baby cannot use the vasopressin, it has to screw whoever's in sight.
Because, explain vasopressin, what it's meant to do in human beings, Dr. Pat.
Vasopressin is supposed to stop the dopamine excitement. You see, there are two major dopamine. Dopamine is an upper. In fact, there's a nice Dr. Lemke that's wrote a book about dopamine addiction. People that are addicts are very dopamine addicted and
Well, let's talk about what dopamine and vasopressin. These are neurotransmitters that are chemicals in the brain. Right. Chemicals in the brain.
Too many chemicals in the brain to allow them to be monogamous.
Right.
And if now I was so thrilled to read the article, which I don't have. It wasn't an article. It was a TV statement. That said, baby boys must be evaluated for vasopressin deprivation or they can't be monogamous.
Right. They're going to be like animals, like dogs, like street dogs.
That's exactly right. How many do that?
That's right.
When I deal with people, that's a major deal.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind,
how this impacts, now we're going towards the chemistry between people for our lay audience in the dating scene.
Marriage
scene.
The first thing I want people to do is to read my book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
Right, a man's world and a woman's universe, right.
Pardon?
A man's world and a woman's universe by Dr. Pat Allen.
Is the book that I'm promoting because it answers questions just like I'm doing. What we're doing now, and I hope you can fix the electronics so that I'm not interrupted because I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll keep going.
Okay.
So get to how this affects the people who are out in the world trying to mate.
What they can do is do what we're doing and you doing what you're doing, which is repeating what they're saying. I'm willing to repeat what I'm saying.
We understand. So remember the book you used to refer. There's another wonderful book out there called The Alchemy of Love, which is really about the chemistry behind mating.
Well, there's lots of books.
Yes.
That David Buss.
David Buss.
The Evolution of
Desire. Right.
Okay. And my book,
It's a man's world and a woman's universe.
Yes, but I have other books. I have.
You have Getting to I Do. You have Staying Married and Loving It.
And Loving It.
Yes.
That's exactly right. So with this in mind, if we can polish up the interruptions, I think you understand that I've just done 10, 15 minutes.
Yes.
And I will do it.
We're going to next time we will talk about compatibility, but today
absolutely
we're talking.
But do you understand?
Yes.
Today we answered the question, why are some men incapable of being monogamous? That's a biggie.
They're lacking a neurotransmitter called vasopressin. So
That being said,
we will go on with our questions from our audience. And thank you so much, Pat, for your expertise, your brilliant work, and we will go forth and carry on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We didn't deal with oxytocin, which glues women to men that can't be monogamous.
The oxytocin is the other part of the chemistry, which comes.
That's
which
right.
The women That's who right. are under premenopausal. So all this chemistry goes on
and
in the brain.
I didn't give the magazine or the source of this.
Okay.
This is the source of this information. It's oxytocin and vasopressin. Linking these two things together.
Yes.
As habits.
So that means that the oxytocin is in the female brain and is gluing the women to the men, but the lack of vasopressin is making the men not be able to partner.
That's
and
right.
Stay monogamous. So
now
this,
here's Go ahead. The magazine is Frontier in Neuroscience. It's Oxytocin and Vasopressin, the September 2015, Volume 1, page 325. It's 15 pages long.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Pat, and for our lay audience and the people calling in. Pat, Dr. Pat, we so appreciate your brilliance. Thank you so much for being here with us, and we will take our callers. And Sam, we are ready for our callers, right, Sue? Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
If you want to call in, you can reach us at 323-203-0815. We can take calls if they have any questions regarding chemistry. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia Eltinge.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just great. And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
It's Brian.
Hi,
how are you?
Brian. I thought
still
so.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing well. So you're flying solo today?
We are here for you.
All right. So
what can we do for you? Do you have a question today?
Yeah. So remind me, I know that you're the dream expert. So,
and I'm here as a relationship expert too. I'm Pat's protege, yes.
Okay, good to know. What are some of the benefits of, I know you talk about bad dreams. I mean, somebody who's having bad dreams or troubling dreams, what do you encourage for them?
Well, first of all, we don't like to use the word bad dreams because all dreams ultimately wish us well. And we usually talk about the dreams in the second hour, but I'm certainly willing to talk about it with you now. And that is the dreams that seem troubling, that are trying to pound through your unconscious mind, through your subconscious mind, up to your conscious mind, it's because they're pounding on you to deal with some unresolved issues. So are you having troubling dreams, dreams that are disturbing to you?
I had one the other day with somebody at work that I had some conflict with. It even had, it had like a romantic twinge to it, which definitely doesn't exist in real life. And I know that you and Dr. Pat have talked about that really when you're dreaming of somebody else and their action, that it's really more of a reflection of you.
It's an aspect of yourself. This person is representing as a character of an aspect of yourself. So what is that character? Would you say, how would you summarize that character in a nutshell?
As a real life person or is in the
yes,
dream?
Yes, in real life, in waking life. Dream life is real too, but in waking life, can you summarize the character of that person?
That person definitely has, I've been wondering if this person has some borderline stuff, some narcissistic stuff to them, definitely going through some challenges and not getting a lot of support, and was getting support from me, and then
so here you're dealing. Okay, so the character in your dream is representing an unstable side of yourself. So we all have many aspects to ourselves. So what was the scenario in the dream where the unstable part?
Yeah, it was some kind of romantic thing, and, you know, it's like a romantic in the workplace. It's like in my waking hours, I know that's a no-no, and in the dreams, it was kind of like I was going with it, then I remembered, oh, that's a no-no. It's a few days ago, so that's about all I remember.
So in the dream, you said to yourself, oh, you realized in the dream that it was not kosher or not appropriate?
Not initially. You know, like in my waking hours, I would have known that. But as the dream went on, I was kind of like okay with it for a while. And then I'm like, oh, I'm doing something wrong.
Okay, so this is relating to what, then now I jump to where in your waking life are you crossing, thinking that you're possibly crossing the line in some area? It doesn't have to be in that particular area. Where do you think you might be crossing the line in waking life?
And when you mean crossing the life, like
any line, any line,
things,
any line. Where are you going? Your own personal boundaries. Are you crossing your own personal boundaries in some way? Or are you extending yourself outside of what you think is appropriate in waking life?
I've wondered a couple of things in my relationship, but I don't think it's
like
anything.
What? No, because it's subtle. This is subtle, Brian. Let's listen to me carefully. So where would you potentially think you're possibly, ever so slightly even, crossing the line?
You know, wondering about my boundaries around substances, like, is that okay for somebody to do something that I wouldn't do? And I know Dr. Pat certainly says, hey, you guys are not going to line up on everything, and they definitely have come to me with some very good medicinal reasons for that. And then I don't know if it's necessarily... there might have been something else, but that's the one thing that comes to mind.
I want to see where you personally would be cross. Where might you be personally potentially crossing a line? The subconscious mind reveals everything, so you can't hide. You can't hide from your own subconscious.
Yeah.
So you might as well fess up.
I'm not sure. I mean, the only thing I can think of is in a work setting. I think I'm not holding up my part in looking for other opportunities that might be more lucrative. So I know I'm not And I know I'm not putting myself in the best position there, and that's regarding, reluctance to change.
Okay.
That's one that's kind of been hanging over me for a bit.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's the subconscious mind picks up the subtlest things before they become big, real things. And so we are ahead of the game by understanding what our subconscious mind is telling us before it turns into a real thing that might not go the way we want it to go. So it's just alerting you to pay attention to where you might be not holding up your end of what even that you know is appropriate.
And I suppose some of the real life situation with this person is related to some of those boundaries, and I've had some questions if my decision in regards to the boundary that I did make with this person was impacted by some of my feelings towards that person rather than the job at hand, although really I made the decision based on what I was getting from the higher ups, as opposed to what I wanted to do, and really what the other person wanted to do too.
Well, this is what you need to pay attention to when you start understanding your dreams, is where you can make a tweak in your waking life so you can align with your own personal integrity.
Yeah, that's very true, because that would mean doing more work to explore some other options, which I've definitely been putting off for a while, because I know I have at least one opportunity, but I realize that it's not the only one that has some stuff I'm not thrilled about, which is why I haven't taken it.
Okay. Well, we thank you for that, and we hope you call again next week. And I hope you got something out of that, Brian, because that's excellent information to let other people know that our subconscious mind reveals to us hidden messages that help us in our personal growth and understanding. Thanks again for calling, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We have a couple of callers waiting. So.
Good.
Let's see, we'll get him on the air here as soon as we... Okay, let me see. He's connecting them.
Okay, well, in the meantime...
when you start talking, then somebody will come on.
We are here with Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute.
Here we go.
Here somebody is.
Yes. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia Eltinge. Do you have a question?
Yes, this is... my first time calling in. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you just fine. How are you?
Oh,
and what can I do for you today?
Well, I have a lot of questions, but I have two short dreams that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
One is where I entered a room. It was a den in a very country, very familiar house I've been in before, and I saw my father, and he was in a corner working on something on his lap, and I approached him, and he passed away in 2018.
That's a waking life, so let's stick with it. So waking life, he's no
right.
longer with us, but in the
right.
dream, he was sitting
he's
in a corner.
Very healthy, mm-hmm. very healthy. He was in his costume that he used to do a lot of Confederate reenactments. And so he was in his costume. He was Davy Crockett. And that was his love. He loved playing with guns and reenacting that kind of stuff. And I walked up to him and I could tell he was surrounded by people, but he was so intent on working what he was working on, what he had on his lap. And, I could tell he was not interacting with anybody, even though he was surrounded by people, and he didn't respond to.
Oops, something happened there. Technical issue, but I'm remembering everything she said until she pops back on again.
Sorry about that.
Okay,
I don't know.
He's working with something on it. Do we know what it is on his lap?
It's something like a P piece of his costume or a part of his gun, or he was really into muzzle-loading gunpowder guns.
So you believe it was something to do with the gun?
Or something to do with his
costume.
Hobby. He had so many hobbies.
He what he was doing on his lap was something to do with the costume or specifically the gun stuff?
I don't know.
Okay, just something was on his lap, but it was part of his costume.
Yeah, it could have been he was sanding something, you know, sanding with a piece of sandpaper. He was always busy like that.
Okay, so let's carry on with the dream.
Well, it just seemed like it was very peaceful to me. It was very rewarding and eye-opening to see his true nature, that he had no way to communicate with us as children because he didn't have emotional intelligence. He never had the correct way of speaking to us. We always were yelled at, and because that was the way he was raised. And but so looking at him, he was very happy and satisfied and not mature. He was almost like child, but he was happy and healthy and content. And
this is a side of, like I was explaining to our last caller, everyone in your dreams represents an aspect of yourself. So where is it in your life, in your waking life, do you feel content with where you're at? What's going on in your life where you actually feel content with what you're doing or how you're feeling?
Well, I feel that I did everything I could have possibly done in my power to help him through his hospice period. And
but when was, I'm talking about in your life today, because what's going on in your life today where you could reflect on a feeling that is that of contentment?
I guess that I feel pretty secure in my career, and
you're content in your career and your persona, and what your persona is your career. So when you're talking about how he's reflected in your dream as wearing this costume, and he's happy in that, so you're happy in your career, it sounds like, and you're content with how you feel about how you're doing in it, right?
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Well, that's what it means. It means that you are experiencing a sense of contentment in your life. And in sense, you talk about in your dream that he's wearing, because he's representing an aspect of yourself, and that wearing that costume is persona. And your persona is your work life. That's not your core of your soul, but it is what you do in life, but you're content with it. Am I right?
Yes, I thought the dream meant that my father was finally happy.
No. Our dreams are representative. We use if people can grasp the notion that we use different characters in our dreams, like central casting, and we create these plays to depict how to reflect and depict where we are at in our personal lives.
Okay.
Thank you. That's
you
a great dream, and we know that you're in a good place with how you feel about how your life is going today.
You can call us back next week for your other dreams. We'd be happy to hear them.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right.
Let me.
Do we have any relationship issues calling in?
Let me just do some advertisement here. If anybody wants to purchase Patricia Elton, she has a book on Amazon. It's called The Dream Class. Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. You can order that. I do have some here we have another caller. Caller, you're on the air.
No.
Hi, Dr. Pat.
No, it's Patricia Eltidge is taking
calls.
Hi,
how are you?
Hi, Patricia.
I'm here for you.
Yes, hi. Yes. I have a kind of a question. It's actually two. I have a fiance, and
good for you.
Yeah, but things aren't going too good lately. I seem to like get triggered by him. The one question is, he says something sometimes or does something, and I get triggered and I get very angry. One, I don't know how to control.
I want to know what triggers you. What is the trigger?
Okay, well, last night the trigger was me and him are very sexual, and so he came out of his way, and I was sick, so of course I didn't want to do anything, and he made a remark like, oh, you should have told me I came all the way here, and that made me feel like I'm being used, you know. Like, what's the difference? Like, I of course, I wasn't going to fool around because
Nobody can make you feel anything. Feelings are non-negotiable. So what he said, you felt from something he said, you felt a certain way. He didn't make you feel a certain way. You felt, what was the feeling that you felt? You felt what? That's not a feeling. A feeling is
unloved.
Okay, that's so you felt discounted. Would you call that discounted?
Yes.
Discounted.
Okay. Worried. Is that what he's just wanting?
Say. If you don't feel well, and he you don't live together, right?
No.
Okay. So you say you have every right to want to have sex. However, I so appreciate you want to be cozy with me. However, I'm not well tonight, and I really appreciate somebody when they want to be with you and sexually. But if you're not in the mood and you feel sick, you give them appreciation for wanting you, because that is loving. But say, however, I'm not well tonight, and I'd love a rain check. And so that way they know that you still love them. But
before they come over.
Well, let them know you're sick before they come. Did he know you were sick before he came over?
No. I thought he would still spend time with me regardless if I'm sick or not.
Oh, if you want daddy, I'm sorry, but you don't, he's not going to be, if you want a real man in your life, he's not going to be daddy because you expect it. So let's just strike that one off the board, okay? And if you want someone to be with you, just say, before they come over, I'd love to have you come over, darling. However, I'm not well tonight, so if you're willing to just cuddle up and watch TV with me and have cocoa and tea, I'd love to have you come over. Otherwise, I'm just going to, you know, get under the covers and watch TV myself, because you are a grown-up, and that's how you talk to another grown-up.
Okay, so the thing is, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So yes. We got into an argument because of my temper, you know, and I don't know how to, the question is, I don't know how to control that in the relationship.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If you can't control what comes out of your mouth, then you also should be wearing diapers. That means you can't control what comes out the other end. So I think you can control what comes out of your mouth.
Okay. The other thing is, we were arguing back and forth, and he did make a remark of, you're turning me off.
Well, of course you're turning him off, because you're fighting with him. You start arguing with a man, and it's a turnoff. It is a turnoff.
So
you set yourself up because
the relationship completely over, that he's turned off completely, or is it just in that moment?
You turned him off that night. You just turned him off then. So you need to just back off, and if anything, you can always make an amends, go back and clean it up and say, I feel badly about the other night. I wasn't feeling well, so please let me feel badly about that, and I'm not myself when I'm sick.
Thank you. I like that. The other one more question I have is that over the past month, I'm feeling very needy, and it's embarrassing. I'm feeling needy. He did change his pattern of calling and texting. He used to call every night. He kind of stopped because he got really busy.
How long have you been dating?
We've been together since July.
Okay, you're right on target for you're not in the perfect period. Have you read Dr. Allen's book, Getting Do I Do?
Yes.
Okay,
but I'm
you're not
reading
in the perfect
it again.
Period anymore. You're in the imperfect period, which means you start to see each other's warts and faults. So now you aren't in the perfect period and things aren't rosy. You're not seeing each other with rose-colored glasses on.
No, it's not like that now.
And well, if you want to be a love addict, then you have to go on to the next one. But if you want to develop a relationship, a serious monogamous relationship, you work through, you read the book, and get into the next phase of building a relationship. And with these communication tools, maybe you should join one of the groups. And Sue can tell you about the ladies' groups that where you can learn communication tools so that you can move to the next level.
Okay.
You can
appreciate
always
that.
Just call the office or send me an email. We, Dr. Allen, myself, and Kelly Ward offer ladies' groups that teaches you communications tools that would help you with this type of situation with your anger and your yang mouth. What comes out with your yang. Pat always says, keep your yang mouth shut.
That's right. So while you're learning
the tools, I like that.
When you're learning the tools of communication, in the meantime, when all else fails, keep your mouth shut.
And can I ask you, he's the pattern of, should I be concerned of the pattern of texting and calling fell off?
No, that because you're not in the perfect period anymore. Forget
it.
Oh,
okay.
Does he communicate with you? Are you communicating at least once a week?
Oh, it's every day.
Well, then that's
enough. Spend the weekend together.
That's more than enough. You're getting more than most people get. You're fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Yes, very good.
Yes, if anybody wants to know about ladies' groups, Dr. Pat, myself, and Kelly Ward, you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. I think we might have another caller.
Hello.
I do hope we do. Here we go. You're on the air with Patricia Eltage.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Patricia.
Thank you.
I have a relationship question, and okay, I've been with a very nice lady the last 5 years when we're living together, and there's an age difference. I'm 72, and she's 58. So we're very compatible, you know, the three C's that you were talking about, and we do have the chemistry and the communication, but you know, as I'm getting older, my chemistry is changing a little bit. And, you know, I have been taking the medication for arousal and so on. But I'm
good
not
boy.
Sure.
Good for you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we're solution-based. But I'm not sure if I'm actually gratifying my partner, if she's really having enough lovemaking times together. And it's a sensitive subject, and I don't want to force her, of course, or force an answer, that is.
What makes you think that she might not be satisfied?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly. Maybe it's my own paranoia or fears or anxiety.
Why don't you just pay attention to you? Do you do things that are loving? Are you sensuous with each other? What's important, especially mm-hmm. as we get older and people are over 50, you want to have touching and sensuality and back rubs. And did you ever try taking a bath together and washing each other? There's so much to involved in lovemaking than just intercourse. So if you start having sensuous experiences with each other and sensuality, you will. That is very satisfying for a woman because women really love touch more than anything. And you can always ask her if you want. You can say, you can first say how much you appreciate how good she feels to you. And you can say, I only want to please you as much as you please me, and see what she says and anything I can do to make you feel better.
But do you think I should express this anxiety to her also? Like, are you happy enough with the frequency of lovemaking? Because we are affectionate, I have to tell you. I tell her I love her and she tells me. So we're communicative and we do touch a lot, hold hands,
yes,
et cetera. But I still have this, doubt within
myself. And you ask in the way I said to you. You say, I want to know, you can first of all state how good you feel, how good she makes you feel sensually, sexually. And if there's anything you can do in any way for her to feel as good as you do, meaning on any level, whether it be frequency or the way you touch, the way you make love. That's wonderful to have conversations like this. It only brings more intimacy.
Well, when should I have this conversation with her? At breakfast?
anytime you want to.
It's a sensitive topic. Well, because it's
well, if you make fun with it. Keep it fun and light. Say, I just want you to know. Sometime in the evening when you're sitting together or watching TV and touching each other's thigh or something, say, I just want you to know how much I love you and how good I feel with you. And even when we make love, I love it. So just commend her on how good you feel with her when you're making love. And then see, again, as I said, how you can please her to her fullest, if there's anything other.
So let me see if I get this right. So I'm going to tell her how much I love touching her, making love with her. And
yes.
Then do I say, and is there anything more I can do for you? Or do I phrase it like that?
Yes, what can I do for you? Since you bring me so much pleasure, I want to bring you as much pleasure as you bring me. What can I be doing to please you? And that will make a lady melt. So, and if you have an intimate relationship, she would welcome that.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Great questions here.
Wonderful. Thank you. Keep them coming, callers. Keep them coming. This is the Dr. Pat Allen Relationship Call-In Show. Welcome.
The first hour, we do relationship. We prefer relationship questions. And from 5 to 6, we'll do the dream interpretation. If we don't have any callers, I have a couple of emails that came in.
Good.
Let me go through. Let's see here. Let's see. I have one here. Let's see. My boyfriend has a woman that is his friend and that he helps with when she needs help. However, they did date for a few times. He still wants to be her friend and it upsets me. I told him how uncomfortable it made me feel having him still talking to her. He said he wants to keep her as a friend. Is this normal for a man to have female friends while he's in a relationship with me? What can I do to have him not talk or see her?
Well, first of all, it's very tricky to have males, especially if it's a former lover. And
I believe somebody called in here. We can answer this in a minute.
Yeah, we'll answer that. So it's really very, very tricky and not a great situation unless you want to both get all three of you get together is a safer way to do it and say how you never tell them they're wrong by doing it or that it pisses you off in any way. What you do is say, I appreciate that you want to have this person as your friend who's been a former a girlfriend or a former lover. However, I don't feel comfortable with it. And I don't feel safe in that, or I don't feel comfortable with it, but I'd be more than willing for the three of us to get together. But And I tell the men, and I tell the women too, for someone of the opposite sex to remain friends with a former lover is really not a safe situation for the relationship. It really isn't. So if you all want to get together and friends, but you each can't have be friends when you have been a lover of somebody, you can't be friends until you each have new lovers. And then possibly only then can you all be friends. But it's very tricky.
We have another caller on the line here, Patricia.
Great. Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. She's been waiting on here. Okay. Go ahead, caller. Are you on?
Hi.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Hi, Patricia. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Okay. Yes. I have been friends with a man for 25 years, strictly friends. And once a month we would have lunch. He's married. His wife died 18 months ago. So recently he invited me to Christmas dinner yesterday. And I thought this was a big deal because his children are grown, 28 and 30. And, so I just wanted to get your thoughts. To me, I'm just thinking, well, this is a big deal because his wife just died 18 months ago. He said he was lonely. We've been friends for this long period of time. And even tonight, he kind of joked around about turning me from a friend into, you know, a romantic interest.
Let me tell you something. You don't have to call it a big deal. Call it a nice segue from friendship to potentially more. But I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but welcome it. It's an honor. First of all, when men have a spouse die, men don't like to be alone. We women can handle being alone better than men do. They usually want to partner sooner than later. They like being, if they've been married, they want to be partnered again. And if I were you, if you like the man, he's been a friend, you know each other, so there's some compatibility there. And welcome this. Can you handle welcoming him as a potential boyfriend?
Absolutely.
Well, don't make a big deal out of it, but just thank you so much. I'd love to.
Okay. I said yes, so I'll be there.
But just say yes. Be exuberant. Say, oh, I would love, that sounds great. Just gush and show appreciation for the invitation. Men need a lot of appreciation.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. I have one more question regarding that. He's cooking dinner, I guess him and his daughter, they're cooking dinner. I was going to bring a bottle of wine. Is that appropriate?
Of course.
Okay. All righty. I think everything's covered. I'm excited.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, I will. I will.
Thank you. Call us back and let us know how it went.
Okay, I will. I will. I will.
Thank you, caller.
Great. I love hearing that. Wonderful.
Great questions. I'm not sure if somebody else will click in. You can always see at the bottom here. Let's see. Okay. I have one. If a man tells you on date two that he had a great time, yet he doesn't call to make another date, can I reach out and ask him why he ghosted me? What's your opinion? What's your words of wisdom on that?
Well, first of all, I don't call that ghosting if someone hasn't called you right away. It takes them up to 8 weeks. If you have that person who, if hopefully they're listening, get Dr. Pat Allen's Getting to I Do. It's all in there. It takes them up to 8 weeks to muster up the energy or the courage or sift through the other people on the Rolodex or the emails to come around.
Yeah, and see.
And occupy yourself and entertain yourself and go out with people and just be happy that you had a nice connection once, and if he cycles back, okay. If he doesn't,
I find they, with most of my ladies in my ladies groups, they do cycle around. Usually at about 6 weeks is the magic number.
Yeah, it's so true. But don't believe it or not, sometimes it's in the 11th hour of the 8 weeks.
Yes, and when they do call back, kill them with kindness. Don't ask them, why didn't you call me? Don't start bitching and moaning is what I tell my lady.
What you do is praise them rather than a don't. You say what you do is thank them. Oh, good to hear from you.
Yes.
And sound energetic. Don't sound scolding in any way.
Yes.
Do appreciate the call. Oh, great to hear from you. What's new?
Yes. Yes, act like they just had talked to you last week or just
exactly.
The other day. That's what I tell the ladies, and then just start back up where you left off.
Perfect.
Perfect. And I'm not sure if we have any callers. Sam, if we have any callers, you can log them in. Other than that, I have a few questions. Okay. I can see the switchboard. If it comes on, I'll flag you, Patricia. Okay. Let's see. If I have had 2 to 3 dates with a man and he says he really likes me, however, the only texts me once a week, does that mean he's not really into me? Most guys I date text me 2 to 3 times each week. I feel he doesn't take care of my feelings.
Well, you have a criteria that is very dogmatic, and there every man is different from the other one, just like every breed of dog is different than the other one. So some men will do it sooner than others, but just mind your own business and be appreciative when they do contact you.
Yeah.
And so the question is leave them alone. Men do not want to be hounded, and they'll do things in their own time. We need to wait.
Yes.
Patient. What are the rules
that
says how patient,
passive,
and
vulnerable, and available.
And
masculine is assertive, controlling. They're the ones that chase. She always says the sperm chases the egg. So when you ladies sit back patiently and, you know, accept how much he's giving you, that's the good standard.
That's what it is. And if it's minimum once a week.
Yes.
You may get more, but you may not get more than once a week.
And Dr. Allen also says, don't ask a man for more, better, or different.
More, better, or different. Sex, time.
Time.
That's right. You can ask him for stuff.
Yes.
But don't ask for more, better, or different sex, time, and affection.
Yes. Okay. So here's another one. How do I be vulnerable with a man without overdoing it? Like, how often should I give genuine compliments? I feel like if I overcompliment, then the man will start to cherish me less.
Why are you complimenting him?
I think she means appreciate, you know.
Oh, you can appreciate what they do for you and how they make you feel. But if you're just giving them random compliments, then you're like a school teacher or giving them a gold star.
Yeah.
If it's something they're doing or that's not towards you. But if you're a feminine feeling centered female, that you will be receptive to the nice things they do for you and appreciative of the nice things they do for you and how you feel around them and how you feel when they do things for you or how they treat you. That's very different than randomly saying,
yes.
Well, did a good job at this or you did a good job at that, then you become a mother or a school teacher or something like that. So,
yeah, I think the second part is when I become vulnerable, the guy thinks he's won the game.
Well, I hope so. We want them to win.
Let me finish the rest here. There's like a three question part here. So we get it together. Like, how often should I get, when I become vulnerable, the guy thinks he's won the game. I'm not sure how to play hard to get while being vulnerable. Oh. It seems once I become vulnerable, the man seems to lose interest. They stop complimenting me and pursuing is hard. See, that's a...
This person needs some work. This person, I would suggest go to one of the groups and come and call me and do a life script on the side. And we'll get to why you're...
Speaking of which, while you're talking about it, go into why this might be good for the life script, because I'm just reading stuff about your when you emanate your partner on how you what's familiar when you're growing up.
Yes, well, what people do, why we need to dig deep, and what I call a life script is like an archaeological dig. We dig down into from 6 months in utero, actually, to present day, how you formed your attitudes, your behaviors, your thoughts, your feelings, and became how you are today. Now, how you are today is working perfectly for you, and everything is exactly how you like, then okay, then fine. But if you want to transform and grow and flourish, then this life script gets you to be able to pick and choose what parts of your growing up input that you can eliminate and what parts you can keep in order to have a flourishing, successful life in relationships, all types of relationships, whether it be your romantic relationships or your work relationships and your friendships. So this really gets to be able to clean you out to be the best you can be.
Perfect. And if you're calling in, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Sam at the switchboard, he sees your call and he calls you back. So if you have, if you see a number you're not familiar with, pick it up. And also, if you want to enter the number I just gave, put it in your spam folder so it doesn't go to, so Sam's return call does not go to spam. That happens a lot to our callers.
Oh, right. So we're ready for is it time that we're having some dream people? Advertising, or we'll do the dreams now? What do you want to do?
Well, whatever we get the callers calling. I've got some people that you can call. Okay, let me just go over one more. I'll give you a question while I hook up the ones. When I become, I found texts from a girl on my boyfriend's phone. I snooped and looked at his messages. The text does not say anything about dating or sex. It was a text about nice seeing you the other day. It was hot. How do I respond to this since I was not supposed to invade his phone privacy? And I want to know if there was something between him and this lady.
You don't get to respond at all, and that's what you get for spying, playing cops and robbers. The playing cops and robbers will only bring you pain, so we do not play cops and robbers. Now that you've seen this, it's going to put a dent in a chip on you, and you're going to be resentful of something that you shouldn't have seen in the first place. So I suggest that you erase it from your mind, and it's none of your business.
Good. That's what I tell the ladies. Pat does that too. She mentions the cops and robbers scenario. Oh, and if you're looking, you will find something no matter what, because you are looking to find something, even if there isn't anything to be found.
You're only going to bring yourself pain. So if you're a pain addict, go right ahead and keep on doing it.
Okay, let's see. I have a couple of people that were going to that had dreams. I'm having Sam give them a call. So that was pretty much it. I did have one more question, but we can go over that later. Let's get our callers. We're doing dreams now. If you have a dream you want Patricia to go over, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. And again, when you call, you may be hung up on, but Sam at the switchboard calls you back. So please have this phone number in your phone so it doesn't go to spam.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
In the meantime,
do you want to go? Well, you know, Patricia,
hi, Pat, Martha, went, oh, I'm not available.
Oh, okay. So. Oh, there we go. See, that's what happens.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it goes to spam. It goes right to the voicemail if you don't recognize the number. So we suggest that you put the number in your phone so that it doesn't jump to the voicemail.
Somebody joined. Okay, you're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Hi.
Hi, I don't have any dreams. What does that mean?
Question?
I don't.
I'll tell you
about it. Yeah, we'll take questions.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it. People think they don't dream, but they act.
Oh, somebody joined. Okay, you're on there.
There you are. I'll tell you something. Everybody dreams. Every animal dreams. And they just don't recall the. Oh, did she go bye-bye? Okay, well, I'll go on with the teaching till she comes back.
Hello? She just joined.
Every animal dreams, and I talk about this in my book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, and that is we just have to train ourselves to recall our dreams because these are messages that are bubbling through from our unconscious mind through our subconscious to our conscious mind, trying to bring us messages for our personal growth. So while you're saying that you think you don't dream, you do, but we can teach you how to capture your dreams. And I'll give you the short version of it here. That's actually the long version is in chapter 7 of my book. And that is keep a pad by your bed and a pen. And upon waking, first of all, you can plant the seeds before you go to sleep, but that's the next level. But just to start with, you, upon waking, there's a state of consciousness that is between sleeping and waking, and it's called the Lyman state, as in subliminal Lyman. It's the liminal state. So you will keep your eyes closed upon waking. That's a discipline. So this is like learning something new, like learning to do yoga or you're learning an instrument. Okay, so you keep your eyes closed as you're waking and you just try to capture something you see, just anything. You might just see a car, let's say. So when you're first practicing, you keep your eyes closed and you scribble the word car next to you on your pad. And that's the beginning step of training yourself to capture your dreams. And I have people I've been working with for years who said they never dreamed, and now they have. This is like the back door entrance to your subconscious. And that is how you get to your own sixth sense. And that's how you know, you will learn to know things before your conscious mind knows them. So, caller, what are you wanting to do with your dream life?
I just want to be able to dream and recall them and call in and ask your opinion about them.
This is the way to do it. Get my book, number one, and it gives you the detailed version and how it led up to me learning all this stuff. And I've been doing this work for over 25 years. Besides all my other work in the healing arts, I've been in the healing arts for since 1980. But
Patricia, let's go. Her book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. It's available on Amazon. It's all details on how to capture your dreams, and then it also gives you some guides how to help interpret some of your dreams.
Right. So I appreciate your willingness to look into this very intricate but wonderful world of dreams.
Go capture some dreams and call us back.
Call me back when you capture, even if you capture one image. I'll tell you something. I can go a long way if I see one of your images from your subconscious.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, caller. Okay, we've got a couple of people in the queue here. Let's see if we can get them on. Okay.
So well, here we are, and I love that Sue carries on these classes through the Institute, and the people.
We have a caller. Hello? Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a dream for Patricia?
Oh, yes, I do. I have a dream. I had a dream last night that I was moving back home, and I think I was going to like a home health job. And my partner and I were discussing like how that would affect our relationship. And I think we were talking about sex, and I'm not sure what we were talking about, but I think it was kind of like intimacy or whatever. And I say something like, okay, it's like, we're done with withholding from each other. If you're going to do that, if you're going to like, you know, withhold sex, then like, we're just going to keep having these small little resentments. And then I walk away and I remember feeling really sad because I remember thinking, dang it, I didn't even use one I statement.
Oh, like, you're catching
you and Sue are teaching yourself. I statements.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I so feel you, statements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were doing a you thing. You were doing a you were pointing out you this and you that. So what's happening is you're teaching yourself. Are you getting coaching somewhere where you're learning better tools?
Yes, I'm trying. Well,
good. Okay, well, then it's sinking. What this is telling me is it's sinking in. So you're catching yourself in your subconscious so that you're going to be using your words more appropriately in your waking life. So it's sinking in. Whatever you're learning, that is appropriate.
Okay. Yeah, that feels good. I'm glad to hear that.
Well, I'm happy to hear it too. And where are you getting some coaching?
Yes, I'm getting coaching from Sue.
Okay.
It really is sinking in. It's really hard. It's different for me because that's not how I was raised to speak. But
Well, I'm happy to hear that because not everyone, and most people were not raised to speak in a way that brings them what they want out of life. And you're sinking in. What you're learning is sinking in because it has penetrated your subconscious. I love it.
Yeah. Is there a meaning to like me walking away and having that realization? Because I kind of wish I would have like realized it in the moment and then like turned around and like fixed it or something.
Well, what you're walking away from is the old you.
Okay.
You're walking away from the old way.
Okay. What does it mean when two people have the same exact dream?
Well,
that's happened twice.
It has happened to you? Mm-hmm.
Yes, twice.
That's very fascinating. Yes, I have had that very, very few times with clients, and it can happen, and it's a phenomenon. But you are on the same psychic plane somewhere out there, and what kind of person were you connected with in that way?
It's my partner, but we weren't dating. Yeah, well, my ex-partner now, but we weren't dating at the time, but we were chatting as friends, mm-hmm. and he had said something like, well, I hope to see you in my dreams tonight, and then I said, yeah, let's do that. I'm going to see you in my dreams, and he said, okay, well, if you dream about me, call me in the morning, mm-hmm. and so I dreamt about him, and then he called me in the morning and said, I dreamt about you. And I said, oh my God, I dreamt about you. And we finished each other's sentences. Like we were in a room, we were packing, we were going on a vacation. He was on his computer. I was packing toiletries. We were excited. It was very sweet.
Well, you can be connected, and that's when you were first getting together, you said, or before you actually got together?
Yeah, we were on and off a few times, so this was in between one of our on times, well, but we got back together.
You were psychically connected, and what is happening then is that is a form of intimacy, but you have to understand that in psychology and in the subconscious world, our partners are reflecting the other side of ourself. There's the masculine and feminine energies in each of us. So the other person we're hoping to be with is our match, the other half of us. So that's what we're always hoping for. And when you're getting together, you can experience that. But when you are not getting together, you won't have that kind of connection. But it's real. It's very real. Good for you.
Yeah, we're super, super connected.
Okay, then. Then,
what did you say? I'm sorry, we cut out.
You were very connected then.
Oh, okay.
At that time, when you had that dream, you were connected. Are you connected now?
Well, we're not physically connected. He broke up with me, so
okay. So that's why I said then. I had a feeling that was then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But in any case, you have good instincts, and I say follow your dreams and call us again with your dreams. We love hearing your dreams and helping you connect the dots to your waking life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll
Thank
call
you.
Back in again.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Hope to hear from you next week.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. With your questions. Let's see. Okay, if you want to call in with your dreams, 323-203-0815. We will also take any kind of relationship dreams as relationship questions as well. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on.
Questions.
Hello.
Hi.
You need to turn off the device behind you.
How is this?
There, now we got you. Very good. Hi.
Okay. Hi. Am I on the air?
You're on the air with the Dr. Pat Allen call-in radio show.
Great. Hi, Patricia. My Hi. Name is Lynn, and I have my dreams usually very early in the morning before I wake up, and I often can sort of remember them. I don't write them down. I remember them at the time, but they're usually semi-disturbing, not real disturbing, but they're not happy, pleasant.
Well, let's hear a dream. I'll tell you, you can get a lot of information when you get my book, The Dream Class, and can be found on Amazon. But it will tell you how to capture your dreams and how to even plant the seeds so you can dream about things that you need to resolve. So let's hear a dream and we'll get into it.
Okay, well, the dream I want to tell you is contrary to what I just said, because I woke up, and I'll tell you the dream, and it was the happiest, most content dream. It was fabulous. So so in the dream, I was in a field that was near a big city, but it was sort of outside of the city, and this big field, and then there was on a path, then there was this house sort of in the middle of the field. It was a very small house, tiny, and but it had what you needed. You know, it was like a tiny house, one of those tiny houses.
Uh-huh.
So, and outside of the house were a couple of horses and some dogs. So I was really in heaven because I love furry animals.
Okay,
I fostered I fostered 20 dogs in my life or more. So, okay. So I said to myself, wow, would I love to own a place like this. And so then I was walking back on the path and I see this sign and it says, for sale, ASAP and a phone number. And I said, I can't even believe it. So I had my cell phone, and as I'm dialing the number, the dial was my alarm, and I woke up.
Okay. Well, you're seeing a picture of your life, because a house represents yourself. And the way you described it was it's a big pasture or place, but it's a tiny house. But yet you said it had everything one would need, right?
Yes.
And so are you feeling in a place in your life right now that your needs are met?
Yes, I am. And
so that's you. That the house describes you. You are in a place where your needs are met, and the rest of it, you see the horses and dogs, and that's a blissful scene for you. So it seems to me this is a barometer of where you're at in your life. You're at peace with where you're at in your life. Am I right?
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
So knowing that your dreams are reflecting like a barometer of where you're at, and everything, and but it also, horses and dogs are both masculine oriented, masculine symbols, let's say. So I don't see any feminine symbols in the dream. So what I would, how to, if I were going to help you and coach you through making your life more flourishing, you're content, you're happy with where you're at in your life, but where's the balance with some feminine energy?
Okay, yes.
So are you dating? What are you doing for the feminine side of your life? Because are you a woman of a certain age? Are you over 50, let's say?
Yes, so I'm 70 and I'm divorced, and I'm not dating right now. I have men friends, women friends, lots of friends.
Good.
I don't have a significant other, so I'm.
You don't have to have a significant other to have your feminine energy be fed. So when you have your feminine energy fed, it can come from a lot of different sources, as long as you feel good. So if you feel good around friends and parties, or but you do need some. We all need some feminine feeling centered energy. So the company of men, do the company of men feel good to you when you're around men? Do you go to parties or gatherings, social things?
I play tennis with a bunch of men.
Good. Fantastic. Okay. So you're getting some male energy, however it is. That's excellent. So that's how I would say to keep your life balanced. In that department, so that you're, now that we know your needs are met and you're content with your life, and keep the some male energy around you for fun.
Okay, how do I feed my feminine energy? That's what I may feel is lacking, my feminine energy. How do I
feed that? How you do it. You be around men that feed your feminine energy, and also do things that make you feel good. You get massages, go get pedicures. What type of thing makes you feel good, other than playing tennis makes you feel good, I imagine?
Yes, massages, pedicures, manicures, facials, yes, all of those
things. Go to the spa, anything, walk, I don't know where you live, but if you can walk barefoot somewhere and ground yourself to the earth.
Okay, that's great. I can go to the beach. I'm in a warm climate. Yeah. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you so much. I'm so happy I called.
Call again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, caller. Let's see. I think I went through all my questions. Hopefully, we'll have another caller for a dream. The call-in number is 323-203-0815.
Well, I can also tell you about...
Oh, tell us something.
Yeah, different aspects of dreaming. Besides the little trick I told people to keep a pad by their bed and keep their eyes closed upon waking, there's a 3 to 4 minute period upon waking called the Lyman state, where I was starting to go before. And you want to keep your eyes closed upon waking, because that's when you will start to see an image or two or the scenario, and that's where you're going to capture it. So it only lasts for 3 to 4 minutes anyway. So if you have the discipline to keep your eyes closed for that 3 to 4 minutes, you'll remain in the Lyman state and be able to capture something and scribble it down with your eyes closed. No one's going to see. It's not an essay, so you just, it's only you, it's your journal, and scribble a couple of words, so you'll be able to recapture when you do open your eyes. You'll write down what you saw, and because it disappears, everyone thinks, oh, I'll remember it later. You don't, because you're out of that state of consciousness. So you will be able to remember it if you jot down a couple of notes with your eyes closed. And that's the trick. That's the secret.
That's true. I do that all the time. I remember it and I go, oh, that's so vivid. I'll remember it. And then an hour later, I'm like, I can't remember that dream. And a bunch of other people tell me the same thing. They remember,
keep
they the won't forget.
By the bed, people.
Sometimes it's so long that I don't want to write it, but I do a recording on my phone.
It's not the same. It's not the same, because when you have it script, I have volumes.
It's not the same? Oh,
no, okay. It's not. No, because you're going to be able to recapture it. So it's not the same. You got to keep your eyes closed and just scribble a word or two, and then you can write it. Yeah, you can. Once you write down those few words, then you can
read. Okay. Okay. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, okay. You're on the air. Do you have a dream for us?
Oh, yeah. Hi. Good evening. Good evening. Yeah, I had a dream the other night that involved my wife. She was in the dream. And basically, let me see if I can put it in order, that I seem to be a little bit outside of our apartment, and I noticed a young white guy with tattoos all over him that was opening the door to our unit and was stealthily coming into our unit. And then I was inside and I was looking for this guy. I knew he was there and I knew my wife was there. So I was having quite some anxiety. And I thought that I thought that he had gone into a bathroom, and I went to that bathroom. I opened the door, and this very well-dressed black man came out and just sort of strode by me, you know, nonchalantly. And that was the end of the dream. I never could find this kid with the tattoos, but then out of this bathroom came out this, well-dressed black fellow. So it's kind of mysterious.
So my wife
was in the unit too. I didn't know, you know, where, but I had fear that there would be some, something dangerous going on there.
These, since they're male figures, in our dreams, the male figures represent our feelings. The first figure looked like a younger, a cagey character with tattoo. You were suspect of that person not being a savory person. Am I right?
Yes, correct. It felt dangerous and like he was up to some mischief. Yes.
Okay, so you didn't feel safe with that feeling. That was an unsafe feeling you were experiencing. Then it was entering your personal space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then when you go, so something is intrude. What is going on in your personal waking life where you're feeling some kind of intrusion that is not exactly a savory feeling? I would try to get people to connect with their waking life. What is going on that is unsafe? Since you're telling me this is an unsavory feeling, what are you sensing in your waking life that is unsavory? And then when it comes, when something comes out the other way, it's all, you're also suspect of that picture too, that character?
Yes, Well, I was more surprised, you know, but it wasn't a fearful character. It was, like I said, a well-dressed black fella. And
that was,
nonchalantly.
That figure wasn't as scary as the first figure, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So, something in your waking life is triggering you to feel unsafe, that there's some intrusion, potential intrusion in your life. But as it turns out, it was something other than you thought. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I can only help you connect the dots in your, what's going on in your waking life. Would you say that something felt at first to be a suspect, and then maybe when it comes out the other side is maybe the darker side of you, but it's dressed up and not.
Yeah, I have to say, honestly, Patricia, nothing really. I mean, I gotta say, our lives are good. You know, we're happy. Everything, relationship and finances, things seem are okay.
Well, something came up. Something came up in your life. Trust me, something came up in your life that got you to feel like there was a potential intrusion or invasion of your privacy. Was there somewhere in your life that seemed to potentially be an invasion of your space, an invasion of your privacy? It's for you to dig down. I don't know what's going on in your life. We'll say I'm psychic in some ways I am, but I'm just telling you that's your work is to say. And it can be subtle, too. It doesn't have to be big. But our subconscious mind picks up the subtlest inklings when something is unsavory. It alerts us on such a subtle level that we can then get in tune to things on a much more finer level than the overt world. So it's something for you to think about. And I also tell people to meditate on things. Meditation is a wonderful tool. When you come up, let's say people talk to me and I say, "Where can you connect the dots to this, what I'm telling you?" And I say, take this to sit down and meditate for a few minutes, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Meditate on where have you felt intrusion. But caller, I thank you so much for calling in. We do have
caller. We have other people in the queues.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, that one just left. We'll get the other caller hooked up.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello?
Okay, caller, you are on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream or a question?
Yes.
Patricia, no? I think your microphone is on mute.
I'm here for you.
Okay,
okay. Hello, Patricia.
Hi, what can I do for you today?
Well, I wanted to tell you that I bought your book, and I really, when I read it, and I try to figure out my own dreams, I sound like you.
Oh, good. I hope that's good. I hope your friends think it's good.
Yeah, it's good. So I have a question that I can't seem to figure out. And what happens when you dream about when somebody who's died is in your dream?
Oh, you know what I love to say in my talks when I go lecture out? I love dreams with death. I'll tell you why. I'm not that I'm morbid, but it's a wonderful sign that means you are willing and ready to let go of something in your life that you no longer need, that no longer serves you. So let's have a dream.
Well, lately, dead people, I mean, people that I've known, people who I was married to, people who have left this lifetime, have been showing up, not together.
We just use them as characters. They will forever be, their character will forever be in our central casting.
So do you think that there's actually a connection between a deceased person who's on the other side and us dreaming?
No, listen to me carefully.
Okay.
Typically, sometimes people have things, as someone has recently passed, there's some energy around. Mm-hmm. They are representational of aspects of ourself. We use their character type for our scenario.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that being said, let's have a dream and I'll show you how that works.
Okay. So the last one that happened, I was in an old house that I used to live in, and I opened the door, the back door that led to the driveway, and a person was there who I didn't know when I lived in that house. It wasn't like, you know, somebody who had something to do with my life at that time. It was someone else in my life who I didn't know when I lived in that house. Does that make any sense?
No. So someone was at this house in your dream that you never mm-hmm. knew? That you never knew?
No. I knew them from another life, but not from the life of when I lived in that house.
That doesn't matter. Like I said before, we use characters and we put the characters wherever we want them when we create a new play. So these characters in our central casting can be used anywhere. So tell me the dream.
So I opened the door and I was surprised to see him. And I asked him, what is he doing there?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he's just checking up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how come after all this time? It's been decades.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because I still love you. And I said, well, good, because, you know, I'm glad, because it's very important to have love in our lives. But what are you doing here? And I couldn't get a definitive answer of why he had shown up in my dream.
He showed up in your dream because you answered it for yourself. The words you said were the truth. Repeat the words you said.
What are you doing here?
No. What you told him.
What did I tell him?
What you just told me. I want you to repeat it. What you said to him. You said people in our lives are...
No, I didn't say that to him.
Oh.
I'm just saying that now.
No, I don't want you. I want you to just strictly do the dream. Don't add things. The dream was this person showed up in a dream. And what's the character type of this person? In a nutshell, what's his character?
Narcissist.
Oh, it's a narcissist. Okay. which house was this in?
This was in a house that I lived in after that relationship.
I don't want you to connect the two relationships. It doesn't matter. It's a house, and the house represents you, the self. How did you feel when you were in that house?
Oh, great. I loved it.
Okay, so that's where you're at today. The house represents you. And that person who entered, when you saw that person, what was your feeling when you saw that person? You said, what are you doing here? But you said, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? Or, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah, okay. not like, what are you doing here? Like, what the fuck? Excuse my French. Are you doing here?
Right, yeah. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is what's going on? Was this dream recent?
Uh-huh.
Okay. We all have different aspects to ourself. So there are times when that person that character, I'm just going to call it your character you used in this dream,
okay,
in this play, that character is, you have a piece of that yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't have used him in your play. So you are saying to you, so where in your life did you, have you recently demonstrated that characteristic? And you are scolding yourself for being narcissistic in some way.
Because I think I might be being narcissistic in some way.
Yes, your subconscious mind just told me that.
Wow. That's a big one. That's a very interesting thing to contemplate. That I
It's a very, very good thing to contemplate because it showed up for you to work on it. Where that aspect shows up in you. Where that behavior shows up in you in your waking life.
Yeah. Really interesting that that I am manifesting somehow this person who at this point I understand and don't respect and certainly do not want to be like, and that something is coming up in my own psyche that's like him and that I would bring him into my dream. That blows my mind.
Well, it's not him. It's that characteristic. So when you demonstrate that characteristic that you don't like, your subconscious mind is going to send you an alert through a message called a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, hello, you just did this today somewhere in your life. Who did you do this with? You don't even like that, and you did it yourself.
Yeah, so that's like a wake-up call dream.
It's a wake-up call dream for your own behavior. And like I said, our dreams are for our own personal growth, people.
Yeah.
These are for our own benefits.
Yeah, to learn about ourselves. This is it's an important aspect of my dreaming, this whole thing that I'm learning today about this. Yes.
Yes, you got it. So when we find something in our dream, it's reflecting an aspect of ourself, good or bad, good, bad, or ugly.
So meanwhile, he's dead. He's not the narcissist. I am.
Hello! Bingo!
Oh, great.
It is great. You know how great it is? It's how great it is that you're willing to explore this and examine your own life, because a life unexamined is not a life worth living. And this is where we all want to be, is examining our own lives to see how we can improve our own lives.
Right, 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 right. And that's why it's helped to call you. I really enjoy calling in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love hearing from you, and call again.
Okay.
And keep
dreaming. I'll have that pad next to the bed, the paper and pad.
Pen, and keep your eyes closed.
The pen and paper. Okay. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good call. Good call. Do you want to talk some more about dreams? Or I do have one more question on my list if you want. I don't know if you feel comfortable jumping back and forth.
Oh, I can.
Oh, okay. Okay. Should I be upset if a man invites me out of town with him after one date? Doesn't that mean he is only wanting sex?
Oh, well, poor girl. A man wants sex. Well,
they all want sex. That's their God-given desire on the planet, to pollinate everything, reproduct.
Let's hope they want sex. Otherwise, you can go out of town with one of your gay guy friends or a girlfriend. So in the meantime, if a guy wants to go out with you, you don't have to stay in the same room. Even if you did stay in the same room, you could get two beds. You can negotiate anything. And yes, you don't have to be mean for to a man who wants to invite you somewhere. And
give us a tool if a man was, let's say a man was to ask you to go away for a weekend and you've only dated once or twice. Give us an example of a script, a communication tool.
Yes. Yes. I would so love to go with you. It sounds like a lot of fun wherever it is. I don't know, Cozumel or whatever. Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. And what would be the sleeping arrangements, might I ask? They tell you, well, I thought we'd be in the same room. Oh, well, that could be nice. Or we could have two rooms, or we could have two beds. I love cuddling with you, but I'm not willing to have sex with you unless we're in a committed relationship. But it sounds like a lot of fun to go away together.
That's good. And then you find out his part in negotiating, and then you see if it works out.
Don't cut his dick off before.
Yeah, because he asked the inappropriate question that you jumped to conclusions.
It's not even inappropriate. That's not inappropriate for someone to ask you in this day and age to ask you to go away. That's not inappropriate at all. It's however you want to design the trip.
That's part of the asking for what you want and asking for what you don't want. Negotiate. Yeah. Have a, you know, talk to your partner or your date or whoever it is that's asking you, and negotiate a win-win where both people are on the same page and there are no surprises later.
And you can keep it light. You don't have to make anybody wrong.
Yes.
Ever. Everybody has a right to ask anybody for what they want, and then you have the veto rights for the specifics.
Okay, I have one that came in here. I think we probably have time for one more question before we go.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this is a question, but I am married to a younger man for 16 years. For the last 5 years, we stopped having sex, which I attributed to a succession of 4 deaths in 13 months. My husband drinks heavily every night, and we argue over finances.
Well, I'll say one thing. Finances can be the death of relationships, and it is the cause of, they say, something like 60 to 80% of divorces are over finances. So let's resolve the financial issues, because it will show up in the bedroom as you're demonstrating now. So the financial issues need to be handled. You can't solve you can't put the cart before the horse if the financial issues have caused so much stress in your lives. It's not going to be a warm, fuzzy situation for sensuality.
So let me just ask you, let's say, well, we don't know this one specific situation, whether he makes the money or she makes the money, or he's deciding where the money goes, or she wants to decide where the money goes. That could be a big impact on the relationship as well.
And that's why what you teach and what we teach at the WAN Institute, what Dr. Pat Allen has always recommended, that people do these negotiating points. You want to say what the negotiating points are, Sue?
Well, I'm not.
The time, space, money, and
money
play.
Money and play. You go over each person writes their wants and not wants to each one of those categories with subcategories, and then you bring it to the table and you work out each one of those categories.
This is how you negotiate your lives so that you will have less stress in those specific areas, the areas of time spent together, time spent with others, time spent alone, then time, space, my space, your space, our space, then money is the biggie, my money, your money, our money, how it's spent, and play together, play individually, and play with others. So those are tools that you can learn to have your relationships work optimally. When you iron out all those areas, it just makes life easier.
It does. The space one, it's like living locations, private property, private space, your maintenance responsibility, chores, you know, how many times people are always saying, I always take out the trash, well, I always do the dishes. You have to negotiate each one of those, who's cooking dinner, so that there aren't any fights. Each one has their designated role that they agreed to. And these, for the first year, you do them, you renegotiate every 3 months. And then after that, it's every 6 months. And then it's once a year. You're always fine-tuning them. They're not, the first one you do is not cut in stone. You do there, always negotiate it.
There you go.
Yes. So
that's a biggie. That's a biggie. So that whoever, I hope they were listening, the person who wrote that in, they can come and learn some tools. And those things are in the book, Getting to I Do and Staying Married and Loving It. Those tools can really help you negotiate your lives to work optimally in your relationships.
Okay, well, we're going to wind down the show. I just want to give a couple of the commercials. You can order Patricia's book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, on Amazon. You can also order Dr. Pat Allen's books, Getting to I Do, The Truth About Men Will Set You Free, Staying Married and Loving It, and It's a Man's World, a Woman's Universe. They're available on Amazon. And if you want information on Dr. Allen's ladies groups, you can contact me at the office at 949-723-0338 or email info at Dr. Pat Allen. And Patricia, do you have a website that the people can look you up if they want to have a dream interpreted privately with you?
Yes, and life scripts. You can contact me through thedreamclass.com. And I am Patricia L. Tinge, and my book is on there too. But you could always reach me. I'm available, and I can talk to you privately. I can direct you towards the WAN Institute and the groups. And I'm here for all of you.
Call us next week. Patricia and Dr. Pat will be talking about, let's see,
Chemistry compatibility
will be the topic for next week. So if you want to listen in, we'll see you next week. Goodbye, everybody.
Sweet dreams.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.